I want to thank this opportunity to welcome you in our midst this morning. We hope that you'll open your hearts and your minds to the things that we will study together. If you have any questions concerning the things that are presented, we'll be more than happy to share those things and open the Bible with you. Come to thus saith the Lord. We pray and hope that our intention of being here is to worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. And it's our endeavor to continue to do that as we study for a few moments from His holy divine word. You know, there are stories in the Bible that are timeless and matchless. Whenever you talk about them, people remember them. And there's something that is very easy to understand. We live in a very fast-paced society. We go through it at breakneck speed. We're so busy and we're so concerned with things that we have to deal with, our lives, our families, our jobs, our retirement, our health, the welfare of our children and our grandchildren, and just the difficulties that our world is presented with at this time. We're going through a very difficult economic time in our country. There are many things that are going on all around us. We're in the midst of a war. And there's just so many things that can distract you. So many things that can take your mind and your heart and your attitude away from things that are truly important, spiritual things. And what happens is that we get into some bad habits. And one of the bad habits that we get into is something called procrastination. We postpone things until a later time. We know that we need to do them. We know that they're important. But we just don't have the time now. There's other things that are more pressing. There's other things that we need to put our focus on and attention to. And something gets pushed back. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about the perils of postponement. There is danger in waiting till later to do things that we know that we ought to be doing today. And it is something that we just don't give a lot of thought to because we're so busy and because we're so consumed by life that we really are not considering the priority and the directions that we're taking our lives. The perils of postponement. We all battle the problem of procrastination. And all procrastination is putting off for tomorrow what we can do today. It is a very simple thing. It is a very easy thing to fall into the trap of putting off things that we know that are important, things that we know that we need to be doing, things that we know should take our time and attention and our focus, and yet we just put them on the back burner for a little while. And so it's a battle that every one of us fight every day. It's a battle that we're all very familiar with. And some things ought not to be postponed. Not all things are equal in their value and their urgency. There's some things you can put off. If you want to build an additional room under your house, that might be a good thing. But in the economic times, that might not be a thing that you need to do right now. You might want to do a lot of things, and because of the situation of the moment, you can put those things off and really no harm has been done. But all things do not have the same value and urgency. And when we're talking about spiritual matters, that's something you can't put off. That's something that has great urgency and great value. And that's something that you must constantly be on guard that you're not procrastinating in your religious and spiritual duty. It is unwise and it is hurtful, even sinful, to postpone other things. We need to understand that there are some things that take priority over other things. Spiritual matters always take over temporal matters. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's a passage that you're no doubt very familiar with. You've heard read many times. But do we ever really listen to the things that this passage says? In verse number 16 of the fourth chapter, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He said, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, But the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren and ladies and gentlemen, we need to distinguish between temporary things and eternal things. We need to remember the things that are transitory, the things that are fleeting, the things that don't have substance, the things that will not endure. And we never should replace those with the eternal things that do endure, that do have substance, that do have value in our lives. And we must be able to distinguish between the two. Now you can put off and postpone temporal things. Things that have no lasting substance. Things that you can see. You can do that. But it is dangerous to put off the eternal things. The spiritual things that do have an eternal quality. And do have a lot to do with where we will spend eternity in the afterlife. But how can we talk about this subject and not bring up one of the most common Bible stories that we know of in the Bible? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. When we talk about the danger of postponement and procrastination, one of the first people that will come to your mind is the man Felix. In Acts chapter 24, Paul is under arrest, and he is going to stand before different magistrates and people in authority to defend himself. And at this time, he's sent to the governor, Felix. And on a given day, he is given permission to appear before Felix to face his accusers, face to face, and the accusations and charges that they have been brought against him. Paul received permission to speak and defend himself by Felix himself. The case was put on hold for a little while until the commander, Lyason, could come down and give his own testimony of the events as he knew them when he arrested Paul. Paul was allowed to have friends come and visit him while this trial was on postponement. But after some days, Felix and his wife, Drusilla, they sent for Paul, and they heard him concerning things of a spiritual nature. What is their attitude about what they heard? In Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ." Now, he heard things concerning faith in Christ. In other words, he heard things that were of a spiritual nature. He heard things that applied to him as an individual concerning his relationship with Christ. What did he do with what he heard? Look at Acts 24 in the very next verse. It says, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and he answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you.'" Look at Felix's response in this passage. Felix understood the truth that Paul preached. He trembled and was afraid. He knew that his life did not measure up. It says that he knew that he wasn't righteous. He knew that he hadn't practiced self-control in his life. And he understood that the judgment was coming. And he was not prepared, and he knew it. He understood it. But what did he do? He said, "Go your way. When there's a more convenient time, I'll call for you." He put off what he knew that he needed to do. He understood his position. He understood what lasted. He understood the consequences if he did not act, and yet he waited. What is a convenient time? I've heard that term all my life. And another term that I've heard many times by people in the world and even some of my brethren is someday. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do that. When I get this situated, then I'm going to get my life straightened up with the Lord. I remember a few years ago, I was talking with an individual who had fallen away, and we were talking about his need to be restored and the need to come back. He says, "I know you like me. I know, I understand, and I know you love me, and I know you're telling me that, because you know, I know I need to get my, but I'm just not ready yet. But I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting my things in order, and when I get them in order, I'll be back." Let me ask you a question. What problem are you going to fix without God? you ever going to fix anything without God? How are you ever going to get things in order if your life is not in order with God? You can't get your life in order. If your life's not right with God, your life is in chaos. Your life is not in order. And it will never be in order, no matter what you do, until you first fix your relationship with God. That is the primary thing to fixing any problem that you have in your life. And I told this individual that. He said, I believe that, but what? But I will. Someday. He still hasn't done it. I pray for time. That someday may come around. And if you're here this morning and your life's not where you know that it ought to be, but you're looking for more of a convenient time, please tell me what do we have to do to make that time convenient. Tell me what to do in order to make a time convenient. I've asked that question to many. If you want a convenient time, tell me what to do to make it convenient. Let me tell you something in honesty. Christianity is not always convenient. God's way is not always the easy way. It's not always the most easy way to tread. And it's not often convenient in our lives, but it always is the best way. And so Felix put off. He simply postponed to a better time. And that's the danger. He understood. He knew. He knew he needed to do something. But he waited. Did the convenient day ever come for Felix? We never read of it in Scripture. We never read that that day ever came for Felix in Jerusalem. But they did have an opportunity. And yet they chose to postpone it. And you see, that's the prayer of postponement. Just push things back on the calendar another day, another week, another month, another year. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the danger of that. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, here's what the wise man Solomon said. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We may think we know, we may make a lot of plans, and we have a lot of good intentions of carrying some things out, but we don't know for sure what will happen tomorrow. Each new day is a gift from God, to use in His honor and glory to prepare our souls for eternity. But each day brings us one day close to eternity, and all of us are going to have a final day. We don't know when that day is. You could be here today and gone tomorrow. You could be sitting in the capacity of a church like this, and by tomorrow morning, you could be called away from this life, or the Lord could come again. None of us know that. We just had an example of this a few weeks ago. Friend of mine, a brother who used to preach in this area, Brother Eads, was sitting in a congregation just like this 3 Sundays ago, just like you are this Sunday morning. He had an upset stomach. Got worse as the day went on. And so he went to the emergency room. He had to have an emergency surgery, and that surgery went well. But his blood pressure began to drop, and by 7:30 the next morning, he was gone. Less than 24 hours, he's sitting here, and now he's called away to eternity. Don't tell me it doesn't happen to people. Don't tell me that it doesn't happen, because it does happen. And we've seen it in our own lives. We've experienced in our own lives the people we love and care for. How many times have you got a call about something that's happened, tragedy, to somebody? You didn't expect that call. You see, that's the temporal nature of this existence. That's the unexpectedness of this life. And so we must be careful that we stand every hour prepared to meet our God in judgment. You remember this passage in James 4:13? It says, come now, who will say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year and buy and sell and make a profit. You know, we all make plans. I make plans for next week. Next week I plan to be in Las Vegas, preaching next Sunday morning and for a week. That's what I plan to do. That's my intention. I've made plane reservations. I've put lessons together. The flyers come out. I plan to do that. But I may never make it. You know, I remember a number of years ago when I was preaching in Las Vegas, I went to a meeting in California where a man ridiculed the phrase, if the Lord wills. He said, you know what people tell you that, well, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock if the Lord wills. He said, that's ridiculous. He said, if the Lord doesn't care if you play golf tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock or not. That's not the issue. If the Lord wills, to show the time is not controlled by me. That's just a statement that God controls the time. It's His will. And you know where that phrase comes from? We didn't just think it up. Lord, what do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little while and it vanishes away? You know, this is an excellent illustration about life. I like to drink tea. You put a kettle on and you put it under the heat, and then when it begins to boil, the vapor comes out of the kettle and it whistles and it tells you that the water's boiling. But as soon as you take that water off the heat, what happens to that vapor? It dissipates. It's gone. That's your wife. That's your wife. That's my wife. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Our life will go on until life stops, because our heart stops, our brain stops. Life will come to an end. The spirit will separate the body, and life is transitory, it is temporal. And we, none of us, know when it will be called to an end. You know, I have good genes in my family. I have, on my grandfather's side, all of his sisters and all of his brothers lived to their 90s. His sisters all lived to their mid-90s. Does that mean I will? No. That doesn't mean I will. And no matter how good your family heritage is, doesn't mean that you'll live that long. If all your family lived long, doesn't mean you will. Because each of us, Hebrews 9:27 says, is appointed a man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. But here's how we ought to live. Listen to what James continues to say. Instead, what we ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all boasting is evil. You know what this passage means? To not put God in your plans that you make is a foolish thing to do. Whatever plans you make, you better consider God's part in the making of the plan. Because it's only according to His will if you're granted life, if you'll ever follow through with those plans. It's only if God allows you to live another day. It's only if God allows this world to last another day. It's only according to God. And what all that means, brethren, is you don't control the time. Oh yes, we live by that clock. But we don't control it. God controls it. God determines when it will strike for the last time. God will determine when the last click of the clock that you will ever hear in your life. God determines that. And none of us know when that is. And therefore, we should be prepared always. James went on to end this comment with this statement. Therefore is a conclusion. After showing that time is in God's hand, showing that we need to consider the Lord's will in everything we do, and the transitory nature of life, that is but a vapor that appears for a little while, therefore, to him who knows to do good and doeth it not, it to him is sin. Now what does that mean? We read that passage all the time. What does it mean, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin? Failure to do what is right and honorable in our lives, and if we put it off and not do it, God says that's sin. Why? Because it placed your soul in a risky position. You know what's right. You know where you're at. You know what you need to do. You know what you need to correct. But you don't do it. That's sin. That sin, because it places you in jeopardy with God. You see, that's the peril of postponement. We're just going to wait. Now, what about the peril of postponement? What does it demonstrate? It demonstrates arrogance. Do not boast. Now you are boasting is arrogant. It is arrogant to think that you control your life. That's arrogant. It's arrogant to think that you're going to live forever because you're not. And it's arrogant that all bad things happen to other people, but it won't happen to you. That's arrogant thinking. That's haughtiness. You're not above things. Your life can be snuffed out just like anybody else's life. The Lord could come back in our lifetime. We don't know that. You know how many times you hear the preacher say that? You know, you don't know if you'll come back here tonight. You don't know if you'll be here. How many times? Someday that's going to be true. Someday, you know, when I stand here and I tell you I give my last invitation, someday that's going to be true. And I tell you this is the last invitation you ever hear, someday it's going to be true. We both have something in common. I don't know when that is, and you don't know when that is. But you know what we both know? We're both going to have a last time. We both know that. It's ignorance. You do not know. It's ignorant to believe that you have all the time in the world. It's ignorant to believe that you can put off things that are special, things that you need to be doing, and you'll have more time to do it. That's an ignorant, that's ignorance. Because you're banking on more time that you do not have. You see, it's a risk. It's not a chance, it's a risk. You're risking, you're assuming that you'll have more time. God called it rebellion in Saul's case in 1 Samuel 15. Is evil knows to do good. It's wrong to know what to do and not do. Saul knew what God said. Destroy the armor case. Destroy everything that draws above the rock. He understood the instruction. He chose to do something different. And what did he call it? It wasn't just disobedient. God said it was rebellion. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. Let me ask you this question. What benefit? What benefit is there to know what's right and wrong and know that judgment is coming and do absolutely nothing to prepare myself for it? How else could that not be rebellion? How could that not be called anything but rebellion? If I know what's right, I know what's wrong, I know where I stand, I know what I like, I know what I need, and yet I'm just going to wait. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. And that has a consequence. Ignorance has a consequence. Arrogance has a consequence. Now the prayer of postponement, you lose today. If you put things off, you lose today. You know why? Because you can't get it back. Once this day's gone, it's gone. You can't bring it back. You can't undo it. You can't unwind it. You can't change it, you can't alter it. Oh, you can learn from it. But you can't change anything you did in it. Your influence on your children, on your loved ones, your own spiritual growth, your joy, anything that you could have done in your life, it's gone. You can't get it back. You only have now. Part of the postponement is that you lose today. You've wasted it, you threw it away. Something else happens. Your heart can be hardened. You're building up bad habits that make us less receptive to the truth. Hebrews 3, he warned the Israelites, beware of the hardness of the heart. The deceitfulness of sin causes hardness of your heart. You know, every time you hear an invitation, every time you know that you need to obey, every time you know you need to get your life in order, and you put it off, you're hardening your spiritual heart. What you're doing is you're putting a wall between you and God, and a wall between you and His Word. And what you are building resistance. Let me say that again. You're building resistance where the Word of God cannot penetrate because your heart is becoming hard. I've seen this in my own life with people I love. With people I know they know what's right. I know they know what to do in their life to change your way. I know. I've talked to them a number of times. They've listened to me a number of times. But you know, today, you don't trouble them anymore. Because they don't think about it anymore. Why? Because they've allowed their heart to be hard. And that is the danger of procrastination. That is an inbuilt tragedy. Is that every time you put it off, you're allowing your heart to become a little harder. The other thing you do is postponement of sudden death. Life is but a shadow. Remember the farmer in Luke chapter 12? Remember he had a big crop? Didn't know what he was going to do with all that harvest that he had. So what did he do? He tore down his barn, built bigger barns, stuffed all that stuff up in the barn, said he had food and everything planned for years, and he said, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry, because now I'm sick. You remember what the Lord called him in verse 20? He says, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee, and whose will all these things be that you've gathered? You know, it doesn't take very long to die. A number of years ago in 1999, I had an uncle who was going over to my aunt and uncle's house, his sister's house. They were going to get together to play cards. And he went by the store and picked up some milk. And he put the milk on the table. He had a heart attack before he hit the ground. He's dead. In a matter of a couple of seconds. His life's over. That's how quick death can be. 66 years of life over in less than 5 seconds. That's a suddenness of death. And you know what? Any of you that have been on this earth for any length of time, you have seen this in your own life for people you love and care for. But you never think that it will happen to you, do you? What about the Lord's return? The Lord's coming back someday. You know, we read about that all the time. Someday it's going to happen. In 2 Peter 3, it says it'll be like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5 teaches the same thing. He's coming back like a thief in the night. That means he's coming back unexpected. And you know what? It did recently, Jehovah's Witness recently just predicted that he's coming in 2011. I guarantee he ain't coming anytime in 2011. He may come before, he may come after, but he won't come in 2011. Because you know why? Because he's going to come on his timetable. Not yours, not mine. He's going to come when he's ready. But someday he's coming. Will he come in my lifetime? I don't know. Will he come in yours? I don't know. Will he come in my children's lifetime? I don't know. But I know he's coming. And I need to be ready. You need to be ready. That we might not be caught unaware. Parables are postponed. There's some things you cannot afford to postpone. Number one, you can't postpone learning the truth. You need to know the truth. Be not unwise, but understanding what the word of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. You need to know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you need to be learning it. And you can't put that off because that can have great spiritual consequences if you don't know it. You need to obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says that he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to obey the gospel. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. You can't postpone that. Those are things that you don't know how many opportunities you're going to have in order to do that. You need to be making provisions to grow spiritually. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be attending classes. You need to be religious and faithful in your attendance. You need to be preparing yourself spiritually. I can't prepare your life. The elders can't prepare your life. That's something you are required to do. You are required to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in listening to Christian grace, it says, add to your faith. It doesn't say for me to add to your faith. It says for me to add to my faith. You must add these things to your faith. And that's something you can't put off. How long are you going to put it off? Oh, I know I need to know more. Oh, I need to be better, more knowledgeable than I am. I know that. When you plan to do something about it. Well, I'll get around to it. Talking to others about the gospel when opportunity comes. You know, a lot of times when we think about when we should talk to somebody about the gospel, as we're standing in front of their casket at their funeral. You know, I should have said something to him about his need for God in his life. I planned on it, but let me ask you something. What good is those intentions when he's laying there already gone? You have somebody that you love a great deal, somebody that means a lot to you, and somebody that you plan to talk to about the gospel, but you're just waiting for the right moment, you better find the right moment. Because you don't know how long that person's going to be here, or you. Using the opportunity to edify others. People that we know that need spiritual strength. People that are having difficulty spiritually. They need to be edified. They need to be built up. They need to be encouraged. You know it. I know it. And I plan to do something. But not today. You know, I want to try to bring this lesson to a close by using an illustration. One day, an expert in time management was speaking to a group of business students and trying to drive home a point. And so he used an illustration those students will never forget. As he stood in front of the group of the high-powered achievers, overachievers, he said, okay, it's time for a quiz. Then he put out a 1 gallon wide-mouth mason jar. He set it on the table in front of them, and then he produced a dozen fist-sized rocks. And carefully he placed them in the jar. When the jar was filled to the top, no more rock could be fit inside the air. Is the jar full? Was it full? Everyone in the class said yes. Then he said, really? He reached under the table, put out a bucket of gravel. Then he dropped some gravel in and shook the jar, causing some of the gravel to work himself down into the space between the rocks. Then he asked once more, is the jar full? By this time, the class was on to him. Good, he said. Probably not, one of them said. He said, good, he replied. He reached under the table, brought out a bucket of sand. He started dumping the sand in the jar and went into all the spaces left between the rocks and the gravel. Once more, he asked the question, is the jar full? No, the class shouted. Once again, he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water, and he began to pour it in until the jar was filled to the brim. Then he looked at the class and said, what is the point of this illustration? One eager beaver raised his hand and said, the point is, no matter how full your schedule is, you have tried really hard, you can always fit time, more time for things into it. No, the speaker replied, that's not the point. The truth of this illustration teaches us that if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get to them at all. Now, what's the point of that? Here's the point. What are the big rocks in your life? Your loved ones, your education, your dreams, or some worthy cause, teaching or mentoring others, doing things that you love, time for yourself, your health, your significant other. Remember this. To put these big rocks in first, or you'll never get to them at all. Here's my point. We all got big rocks. We put the big rocks. If you don't get to the big rocks, it's because you're sweating the little stuff. We let the little stuff consume our lives, and we never get around to the big stuff because we're so worried about the little stuff. But you better start to focus on the big stuff. And the big stuff, number one, is your relationship with God. That better be your first big rock. And everything you do in your life is to focus on that big rock. To make sure that all the gravel and the sand and the water and all the little things in our life don't get us to forget about the big rock. We all have priorities in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. We all have our duty to God. Those of us who are married have relationships that God has given us responsibility and duties to our mate. If we have children, God has given us duties to them and to our grandchildren. And if we're a member of this church, we have duties that God has given us in relationship to this church. And we have relationships due to those that we know and those that we love and those we come in contact with. And you know what? You'll never get to those big rocks if you're considering worried about the little stuff, the gravel, the sand, and the water. You need to determine what your big rocks are, and you need to be working on taking care of them first. What's important in your life, ladies and gentlemen? Do you have a goal? You know, I listened to a fellow on TV the other night, a religious speaker, talking about he was named John Maxwell. He's supposed to be an expert on leadership. And he's speaking in the Hour of Power, the Cathedral of Glass in California. And he got a standing ovation when he got up. And he asked, he said, I went to a group of businessmen last week in Washington, D.C., and I asked them, did they have a dream? Did they have goals in their lives? And everybody put up their hand. And he said, now how many of you reach your goal? And about a quarter of them put up their hand. What about the other 75%? Do you know 50% of them didn't have a goal? You know what? That should never be said if any of us are sitting in this audience. We all have a goal, and our goal ought to all be the same. You know what that goal is? To get to heaven. To get out of this world alive, spiritually. To make sure that we're going to be in heaven someday with our Savior and our Father, and that we'll be with the Savior of all ages, and that we'll be around the throne of grace and mercy to worship Him all eternity long. That should be our big rock. And everything else in our life should be built upon that big rock. What is most important in your life? Is it your spiritual relationship with God? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it the things that you want in life? Is it the temporal things? Or is it the eternal things? Every one of you in this audience this morning has made priorities in your life. Here's my question in closing. Have you made the mistake of the perils of postponement because you have allowed other things to come ahead of the weightier and the eternal things? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you know that you're lost, and you know that you need to have your life right with God, and you know what you need to do in order to obey God, you have another opportunity to make your life right with God. You've heard the drill. You've heard it over and over in your life. Hear the Word of God. Produces faith, Romans 10:17. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. You need to repent of your sin, Acts 17:30. You need to confess His name before men, Matthew 10:32-33. And you need to submit to baptism and contact the blood of Christ in order to gain remission of sin, Acts 2:38. That is what you must do. That is the step you must take. And yes, you can put it off again. That's your prerogative. But just remember, there's a consequence with that. Because you don't know if you'll have another opportunity. But I can tell you this in all seriousness and for all the love I have in my heart. If you die before you get another opportunity, one of the things that you will grapple, one of the things you will wrestle with for all eternity is that you had an opportunity and you did nothing with it. That's your prerogative. If you're here and you know your life's not right, you know the things you need to be doing in order to strengthen your spiritual life, strengthen your relationship with God, and you plan to do it, but you just haven't planned when to get started, I have a suggestion. Get started right now. Determine today to quit putting it off no longer and to make your life right with God. If it's between you and God, you take care of it that way. If you want us to pray with you and for you, for God to forgive you, we'll be more than happy to do that. But whatever it is, procrastination, there is a danger. Don't put it off too long. You may wait too long. That's together we stand and sing.